Welcome back to Too Authentic. My name's Jas and I'm here with my partner in crime, Sven. On Too Authentic, we talk about controversial and relevant topics in a real and authentic way. Maybe too authentic for some. On today's podcast, we'll be discussing the topic of colorism and its effect on the lives of many people, especially in India.
Hey everyone. A couple of days ago, I think we read an article on Bronga magazine, or I came across one of their Instagram posts that then led to an article that was all around this topic and how one famous Bollywood and Hollywood actress in particular had taken different standpoints around colorism and how, having brighter, whiter, lighter skin, whatever you want to call it, gives you certain benefits in life. We watched or read this whole article with very mixed feelings. Some of it was almost comical, if it wasn't that tragic as well, because it has a big impact on a lot of people's lives, especially in India, as you mentioned before.
And a lot of the audience watching or listening to us today, you'll be familiar with a little bit of what we're speaking about, because as we've grown up, we've heard a lot about the campaign of Fair and Lovely. I mean, as growing up, like, we make a lot of jokes about this whole campaign, but it's very serious, and the consequences of what it's done to the Indian culture and how we perceive beauty has been very serious as well. And the actress that we're talking about today, that's actually prompted this podcast, is Priyanka Chopra. So I know a lot of us are very familiar with her now, as she's married Nick Jonas, and she's one of the first Bollywood actresses that's married someone out of her religion, color, caste, or whatever you want to call it. But a lot of us do look up to her as a bit of a role model. So it was very interesting to see all these types of campaigns and things that are not so great that she has endorsed in the past.
Yeah, I think I wasn't really familiar with her before I met you. And I think then when her whole wedding was a big celebration,
so,
and
nice.
also a big thing on social media, that's when I came across her, because you sent me some photos or posts and you said, look, this is opening doors for a lot of mixed couples as well. It shows that it's more established for an Indian woman to be with the so-called white man. Of course, this is great to see that there are people that go against the traditions and the public opinion and just follow the love, basically, and do not really care about skin tone as we thought, or cultural background as we thought. So it was very surprising to see. At the same time, we don't want to raise our finger here and be the moral police. It's normal that people go through a bit of a process. We talk so much about awakening. You've spoken in the past about how you have sort of woken up yourself, and maybe some years ago you had a different opinion on a lot of things. I think what was very interesting here was just that she was sort of going with the tide a little bit, and it seemed like she was very well aware of what she did there, and that people that have an influence, have a following, have a big name, have to be really careful about how they use it. And we watched this, I think it was five or six different short TV ads in a row that sort of connected, and almost in a comical way, it was ridiculous. We were between like shaking our heads and laughing that it was basically about her as the actress losing her man to a woman that was, like, in some scenes and some shots, looking at it from the videographer's standpoint, definitely there were definitely some effects, some lighting effects, or maybe after effects used to make her skin look even whiter than she is. So Priyanka lost her man to this other woman, then started using this skin whitening or lightening product for her pinkish white glow. And then won back her man eventually, long story short.
The actress that they used in the clip with Priyanka, who was portrayed as the whiter female, was Neha Dupia. And for those of us that know her, we know she's a little bit fairer, but she still has a bit of a tan. But what they did to her in that clip, like, they made her look like a ghost compared to Priyanka. And then as the clips progressed, you saw Priyanka get lighter and lighter. But not just that, she became more confident and a little bit more open, and also was just carrying herself very differently. So it shows you how the color of your skin has been attached to you becoming more confident or more comfortable in your skin, which I found very infuriating, to be honest.
Absolutely. To me, of course, I know that there is racism out there. Of course, I know that people have to go through struggles and life can be more more difficult and very different with a different skin color.
Yeah.
I've mentioned that before. If I look at my friends back in Germany, they are culturally mixed different skin colors. And I know that also some of my mates back in Germany that have an African background, for example, that they have been facing racism throughout their lives and they have been treated differently based on their skin color. So I know that this is an issue, but before I met you, I wasn't really familiar with the Indian culture. And in some way, a lot of these things now, like I've been exposed to racism myself for being the white man. You have to deal with it pretty much on a daily, even though that's just very it's just some people that sort of try to have a go at you for being with the white man or the English man that I am not. But still, of course, I've been confronted with it. Yeah. I had no idea that, and what I mean with, I think it is schizophrenic in terms of there is some sort of hate, at least for some parts of the culture, against the white man. At the same time, it seems desirable to have whiter skin.
It's so hypocritical when you think about it.
It doesn't really... I can't really understand how, on one hand, you can say... this is evil. On the other hand, you're trying to achieve this look.
Yeah. And I think about it and we think about how India came to fruition and how back in the day was ruled by British rulers and colonial times, and there was a lot of white supremacy and white influence on that nation. A lot of these people were from countries where you had lighter skin, so they were seen as superior back then, and like some of the people that lived there just weren't seen as superior as these people. So I think maybe the idea even comes from back then, like the color of your skin means that you're more superior if you're lighter skinned, do you know what I mean? And it's interesting to see that there was so much hate, or that there is still so much hate from a select amount of people on the color of your skin and how you've experienced some sort of racism. But then it makes you think, like, is it because that these people view whiteness as superior and they have like their own insecurity because of how people view their own skin color?
I'm sure that insecurity in many aspects is a big part of it and the problem as well. And we also talk in this context, we also have to talk about the, we have more read or heard about women feeling this way. It might affect men in the same way.
Yeah.
People that do feel really insecure and uncomfortable literally in their own skin because their skin is darker. I'm sure that the history of the country has something to do with it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this has its origin, like, you know, this is something, you're not born with this. You're not born with this desire, and it's something that you basically learn, that is conditioned into your mind culturally. I mean, generally, at the same time, and we've spoken about this a little bit before the podcast, if you look back into the medieval times, if you look back in the days, it was also something in what is Europe today, it was more desirable to have whiter skin because the people that worked outside on the streets, in the fields, on the farms, were more exposed to the sunlight.
Yeah.
And the king or queen, they were sitting inside all day, basically, in their castle, and they were very pale. So I think it's always something that is in some way culturally established. But then at the same time, nowadays, you don't have these clear structures anymore. You know, there's, in most parts of the world, there's no monarchy. And there is way more tolerance, and the world has opened up much more. So we should get to the point where we realize that we are all equal, we're all the same. Everyone starts traveling the world, and this, your skin color doesn't really define your own quality of a human being.
It's so, I fully agree with you. And it's so crazy how opposite it is. Like, what I've been exposed to as I've been growing up, like, I've always wanted a tan. Like, I always go out in the sun and I'm chilling just to get a little bit more of a tan because I like being tan. Like, we live in Australia, the beaches are here, the sun is always out. And I find it interesting that people over here want a tan, but people that are in India or that have been brought up in this way think tans are bad, or having darker skin is considered, you know, not as worthy or not as equal as everyone else. It's crazy how different it is.
Yeah, right? That is even more for, I mean, you're a little bit more tanned naturally, or your skin is a little bit darker, but even more for white people. Like, you know, people go and try to avoid sunscreen when they're as white or as pale as I am, just because they are going on holidays for 2 weeks and they want to get the maximum tan out of it. Or there's a whole industry here in Australia around, what is it, spray tanning, and, you know, like all these, like, all these different ways to get more of a glow and a tan. So it's interesting if you look at both cultures or societies, they both try to go opposite ways, basically.
Yeah.
At the same time, of course, you are not being discriminated here in Australia for having more of a whiter or a pale look. So of course, I think the problems and challenges you're facing with a darker skin are much bigger in India, and you probably know more about it.
Yeah, and I do think that it affects men as well, because like, even if you guys would jump onto like Shali.com or any one of those matrimonial websites, you'll see like their poster girl and guy is always like super fair complexion people. Like there's never really any dark people that I've seen, or maybe you guys have, you can link it to me. But they're always very light skinned people that are like portraying this image of beauty and this is what you desire. And I feel like that even feeds into this even more, you know?
So do you think the fact that you grew up wanting to have a tan is because you grew up in Australia? Is that something that you took on board from the culture here?
Yeah.
The society around you and all this like spray tan and so on, that people went to the beaches to get a tan in summer?
You know what? Like, I feel like I was in a bit of a conflict growing up, because my family was, of course, is from India, right? They think that, you know, like they're sort of in this whole mind frame that it's better to protect yourself from the sun, not get too tanned. Light is kind of better. Fairer complexion is a bit more, I don't know, better in their eyes, in a lot of people's eyes, not just my own family, but people that we grew up with as well. So I had this on one side of my mind where as I was a baby, I was bathed in like turmeric and yogurt. And I think we just talked about this before this podcast came on.
I think it sort of clicked in your head. I saw it clicking and you were like, I think maybe this is why they put me in yogurt.
Yeah, I was thinking like I was special. They bathed me in yogurt. I don't know why. But now it makes sense, because I was Googling before. And this is a practice that people do to make sure you still have fair complexion as you're growing up.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so growing up, I've had this in my head. But then at the same time, because my social group is so multicultural, people from Australia, people from different countries, because Australia is very multicultural. So everyone was always at the beach after school. My school was right near the beach. Sometimes we'd wag school to go to the beach as well. Like, it was just a part of the life. Like, I never thought of it being, oh, no, I'm going to get tanned and I'm going to be less beautiful. I was just like, yeah, well, it is what it is, you know?
And you started caring less. And I think that's the good thing. And that's what I sort of touched on before, is as the world and the cultures sort of merge and come together, people hopefully start to realize that there are so many different ways of beauty.
Yep.
You know, beauty is not being white. Beauty is not being brown. Beauty is not being black. There are so many different ways of beauty, and everyone's beautiful in their own way. So it is not about the white man becoming browner, the brown man or woman becoming whiter. And I think this is what you're more likely to encounter and learn and understand if you grow up in a culture that is, or in a country that is more of a melting pot like Australia.
Yeah, and that's a really good way to put it, because you are exposed to all different types of cultures. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to self-love. Like, just accept yourself the way you are, pale, dark, whatever it may be. Just love yourself the way you are. And I feel like we're always chasing this image of what we think beauty is. And in India, what beauty is considered fair. People who are fair are associated with having more money, being more successful, being more happier, you know? And you think about it, all kind of comes from within. It shouldn't be.
Is it that people just think that, or are they actually given more opportunity as well? Actually a real thing?
No, I'm sure that this translates to challenges in the workplace, because it all comes through, like, even the caste system and things. Like, people are chosen based on the caste that they're in. I'm sure that complexion would have a lot to do with it, especially if you look at even, like, Bollywood these days. Like, back in the day, like, you would see even people like Kajol and some other actresses, they looked a little bit darker in some of the videos. And as time gets on, I feel like everyone's kind of just gotten a bit lighter. I don't know if it's just me that's noticed that, or if you guys have noticed too, but I noticed that it's more like fair-skinned people, with the exception of a few, but even they, in some of their like advertisements and the edits, they are made to look a lot lighter than they really are in real life.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's interesting, and it's good that you're going back to the initial or original point here with the article, and also the power and influence of people like Bollywood or Hollywood actors.
Yeah.
I think, look, at the end of the day, for me, if someone wants to be whiter and use whitening products, or if someone wants to be darker and gets a fake tan, you do you. Like, it's, you know, it's not really going to affect me. It's not going to offend me. You know, that's the same with plastic surgery. If someone wants to change something about their body, the only thing is, and that's up to that person to ask yourself why. Why do I want this? Do I feel incomplete the way I am? And do I want to change something about me? If you think that making certain changes to your body is more beautiful, that's fair enough. But I think the problem is when these people take that, their own insecurities or their own feeling of being incomplete, and turn that into a global, into a general message, and paint a bigger picture where it's like, this is the better way to go. If you and that's what happened with these TV commercials.
Yeah.
When you turn this into some sort of stereotype and a general rule, with your dark skin, you're not going to get anywhere. You have to use certain products to be more successful and happy in life and be loved and be with the man or the woman of your dreams. I think this is where it becomes a problem, because people use their influence and power in a very dangerous, very, very dangerous context.
Yeah, I think anyone in a position of power should think twice on the types of messages that they are portraying, because some people are like sheep. They will blindly follow people just because that person said this thing, and that becomes their reality. Like, there's no process of reflection, of thinking, is this right, is this wrong? No, celebrity XYZ says it, so it must be true. And I think you have to be very careful in the type of messages you convey when you're in a position like that. And this is not just to say that just one actress does this. Like, there's so many actresses and people in positions of power that endorse messages like this. And this does feed into the stereotype more and more, and I feel like it takes away from people actually embracing or loving themselves for the way they are, because such a big industry is built on this. I'm sure it's like worth a lot of money, and like all these deals that these people are getting, they would get paid a lot of money for these endorsing products like this. But you got to think about the damage that you're doing to how people feel about themselves. And not just that, but what is in these products? Like, these products that make you look whiter and bleach your skin, what's in there? There's got to be like, yeah. No way. There's got to be so many chemicals in there. And I had read a little bit about one of the products in particular, and it's been associated with skin cancer, mercury poisoning, and other types of diseases as well. But people know these risks. Like, these things are written on the internet. People would tell them about them, but they still go and sacrifice themselves and their health just to feel prettier. And that's just so sad.
Yeah, and this there are a lot more facets to this. It's probably not even just skin lightening, but the beauty industry generally. There are beauty standards, and some of them are not healthy. Like us both having a fitness background as well, knowing what's healthy and what's unhealthy for the body. Yeah. We're not doctors. We're not the complete experts. We're not skin doctors in this context either. But we know that this also goes for being very, very skinny. That's another thing, of course, that is a big deal and affecting women in many ways. So body image overall, and skin is just one of the aspects. But here it seems like people are really, maybe some people are in some way unaware. From the article, it seemed like Priyanka Chopra in this case had only recently been confronted with certain questions. And I mean, fair enough, this was like 10 years back that she made some of the clips. Yeah. And then I think again maybe five or six years
ago,
don't quote me on it. We're probably going to link this article below the video on YouTube anyway, and we're also going to speak about it on social media, I reckon. But another thing that I pointed out when we had our initial discussion after we had watched the videos and read the article was that no one's free of mistakes. We don't want to use this podcast now to just slaughter Priyanka Chopra for what she has done in the past. She might have been misled. She might have been insecure herself, and she has gone through the same pressures and insecurities and struggles that hundreds of thousands of women are going through in India that have darker skin, or around the world that have like certain insecurities about their body image. But then it's another thing, and that's what I said to you as well. I think for someone to be authentic, you have to admit your own mistakes.
Yep.
And it's better if you're being proactive about it and you take action before media stumbles over these videos and people start asking questions. And then even if you're faced or confronted with it, then just be straight up and be like, you know what, back then, looking back now, I feel ashamed, because the message and the image that I delivered to a lot of women out there is horrible. And then you can sort of flip the script around.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, you can only get to that place if you've kind of got a level of self-awareness.
Absolutely,
or you've awakened, as we like to call it. Like, maybe she just never got to that part until people started asking her about it. And then she started thinking, oh, maybe it wasn't good. Because a lot of the actresses that have endorsed this and actors in India, they have all like been before in different generations, and I'm sure she looked up to them, and I'm sure she followed them because they were her role models. So everyone was kind of doing the same thing. But I think because of the position she is in today, maybe people put her under the microscope even a little bit more. You know, and that's not to say that she's a bad person or something. I'm Team Priyanka, I love her. But I think at the same time, what Sven is saying is very right. Like, if you realize you've made a mistake, then you should own it and maybe think, what can I do to stop this happening in the future?
Yeah, and when you look at her, and like, we don't say that we've all taken wrong turns in our life.
Yeah.
So we're not blaming her for the fact that she has done these ads in the past, even though, but of course, I haven't grown up in this environment. I think from the article, it said that she already had quite an influence. She was successful already.
Yeah.
You have to be very naive to not see. And then I think later on she went to defend it and said basically it was more about a pinkish glow and more the quality of the skin than the skin color, which if you look at the ads...
The name of the product is Fair and Lovely. Like, where do you get pinkish glow from that?
Yeah, true. There is a chance that she was naive. She took a wrong turn, but then it's about getting to the point where you realize and correct it. And it's important to talk about these things because what we've read and what we've come across is that a lot of people are very, very insecure. And I think that was the author as well. I don't know her name right now, unfortunately. But the author of the article has said that she also has darker skin and she also has suffered a lot from it during her youth and her childhood and growing up and feeling like... Yeah, she was worth less than people with fairer skin.
I have a friend of mine who is a South Indian model and a designer actually rejected her for displaying or wearing her clothes because she just thought she was too dark to be Indian. Like, that's ridiculous. And you see how much this issue really affects people from even when they're born. Like, I won't go into detail about who I'm speaking about at the moment, but there have been situations where I've heard of someone who's been born who was a little bit darker as compared to the norm, and their mother saying something like, oh, it's because the lights went out when you were born or somebody swapped you at the birth because I know you were a lot lighter when you were born, but you just got dark. I don't know what happened. I mean, this child grows up thinking that there's something wrong with them because they're a little bit darker.
That's horrible. Like, if this is what people have to listen to, and I'm sure this person... that's not just a single case where this happens. I can imagine if this is so deeply rooted in the culture that it's a very, very common thing. And then take a female that has it, like, you know, that has to go like down a much like tougher and rockier path already, and then throw in this element of them having darker skin. Like, there is so much oppression and so much pressure and discrimination that people have to face, and it's important to talk about it for this to end. But where do you start with it? That's the big question. I think it needs big influencers, people with a large following, or people with a big name in the industries to work against it. But if you say that, and I think that was part of the article as well, that even in movies, it's the people, or in Indian movies, in Bollywood movies, if you look at it, the people with pale skin are more likely to get the stronger, the more successful roles than people with darker skin in many cases. So there is still a picture that is being painted that is maybe even more extreme than what's happening in society. But then the Bollywood industry and also the marketing industry feeds into this as well, of course.
Yeah. And I was even reading like an article a little bit earlier, a couple of days ago, actually, where they were talking about suitability for marriage. And there was an experience of a young girl that was mentioned. She was about 20. But when suitors had come to the house for the arranged marriage that she was supposed to have, that family straight out rejected her. And when the parents asked why, they said, oh, your daughter is too dark for our son. And he wasn't, I'm not gonna talk crap now, but he wasn't that light skinned himself. It's just because she was dark skinned. And they said something about like the children then becoming more dark skinned or something like that. And they wanted fairness and they wanted light skinned children. And that's disgusting. I'm sorry to say, like,
it doesn't make sense. I don't want to take the piss now with this topic. It's a very serious topic, but wouldn't it be good then to have an Indian woman with a white man? Because then at least the kids turn out to be a little bit whiter.
Oh, it just doesn't
make sense. It's hypocrisy, schizophrenia in some way, like, because people jump from one
it's like flags in the wind, like you just jump onto the next thing, like make your mind up.
Yeah, people like they actually jump from one side of the spectrum all the way over to the other side of the spectrum. And something we've spoken about as well is that there is racism against white people, and also this I'm sure is like deeply rooted through the colonialization. And I without knowing too much in detail, I know that a lot of bad stuff happened through that. Yep. You know, like it was the Germans, the British, the French, like, you know, a lot of countries have been colonized back then.
Got it right.
Down in Africa. And it's not a nice chapter of history to look back at. But yeah, there is racism against white people. There's racism amongst the people against each other, against the darker ones as well. And then there's also very strong racism against black people. And I mean, you were born in Kenya, so you would have been confronted with that or been around that as well. How people react to people with different skin colors.
Yeah, I mean, like growing up in Kenya, I lived there until about 4.5 before we came to Sydney. But like our family had like friends of all different colors and nationalities and religions and so forth. So for me, I didn't really see it much growing up there, but I could see that people from the extended family still thought that there was something wrong with, they called them Kale, so the black people, and they were just like, oh, they're only good for like this and this, and they're not really, you know, someone you want to be around too long, you don't want
to
trust
them. And
they
wouldn't have ever been good enough to marry one of the daughters, probably.
You know what? The fact that you say this is hilarious now, because I remember when we came out about our relationship, someone had said to me, the one thing worse than being with a Gora for the Indian woman is to be with a black man. Like, just let that sink in. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, here we are talking about, oh, you know, we just want our child to be happy, blah, da, da. But then you create all these divisions in society. Where's the chance of happiness? Because there's so many freaking rules about what you can be happy in. Like, yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
And then it's hard for me to understand, but I'm trying to understand these people's thought process. And painting this picture of the white man and the black man is bad is maybe to keep you within their own range, yep. Basically. But then how can you then go and say it is an Indian man, it is an Indian woman, but she or he is too dark as well? Because didn't you at least like pick one of the right kind? It's very, very
difficult
to
understand.
It's never
good enough. Like, you're never good enough.
We've spoken about this before. If you have a very strict and extreme ideology, you need that bigger enemy. So then, in my opinion, I have a very extreme opinion on it, but I only need to hear about certain scenes or storylines of Bollywood movies, and it almost makes me upset because there is this picture painted of the white man as the devil. I don't know if black men would even be included.
Yeah, but they are.
And they will also not be pictured in the nicest way.
Well, in the movie Fashion, a lot of us would have seen that movie because it was like the one that helped Priyanka Chopra a lot in her career, and that's how she got really big, I think. The lowest point of her character as portrayed by the film was when she slept with a black man.
Right, you mentioned that.
And that was considered, oh my God, and then she went into this massive depression from it and all these things because she slept with a black man.
Yeah.
What
am I supposed to say about that? I don't know. But it's like, and that is a whole movie industry based on these stereotypes, based on this racism and hate. And basically, then I ask myself the question, what is the story behind it? Is it because it is all just there to support the traditions, to support the system as it is, to keep it working, to keep everyone in track, to keep everyone in line with what they're expected to do? So we need this enemy. Yes. Don't you ever go for the white man. That, you know, they won't be loyal, and they just look at you as the whatever trophy, and you know, as a toy, but they're not really interested in you as a woman. Don't you ever go with a black man. That's like the lowest point, you know, you hit rock bottom if you do that. You know, just stay with your own kind.
Different is wrong.
Exactly. Everything outside is wrong. And I think, like, we've even had people, without going in detail, from your extended family, trying to have a go at us and our relationship when we came out, using Bollywood as a source, using Bollywood to support their opinion and the things they said. So you can see, you can't talk about, well, it's just a movie in the end. No, it actually is real and it's powerful.
People use these films as frames of reference on how they should behave and how they should feel about certain issues. And that is the scary thing. Like, I think people don't realize how much power a film can have on the life of an individual, because, like we said, some people are just like sheep. We saw it in the movie, so this exact same thing happens in real life. And that extends across like a lot of different issues, and not just colorism. But I think it's more about them seeing people in positions of power, people that they respect doing something, then trying to replicate it for their life. And then this whole cycle just continues, you know?
And thank God there is social media today. Yes. Thank God there is Spotify and iTunes and YouTube, and we can be sitting here today and talking about these topics and talk about it in our posts on social media, because it is so important to, like, back, if you look 10, 20 years back without social media, what was there? There was TV.
Yeah.
You know, people didn't have access to seeing there is another world out there. Mm. And a lot of this stuff they talk about in the movies is crap, and it's stereotypes, and it's just creating fear.
Yeah.
For people to follow.
Yeah.
And this is what I love about social media. People misuse it. People use it in bad ways to make business. A lot of stuff out there is fear-driven or wrong promises, but also it can be a very, very powerful tool to get the important messages out there that mass media in a lot of countries wouldn't spread, wouldn't even touch, or doesn't want to be spread.
Yeah, and also there's, because we are in the position that we're in, yes, we can speak openly about this and reach audiences where their government probably wouldn't even show messages like this. I know some Indian governments in particular do ban certain films from coming out because they challenge the societal structures or societal norms too much, and they feel like this is going to cause a revolution, people are going to oppose power and all these types of things. Like, you keep trying to protect the people by holding back these messages, but the internet has just blown that completely open.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And at the same time, if this is what the structures look like, of course, a young actress, if you are mostly looking at yourself becoming successful,
yeah,
and then at your own perspective, you might take the opportunity. You might be like, all right, I could now be the freedom fighter, the fighter for equality and against racism and against colorism, and turn myself into that. Or if I can take the easier path and I just try to lighten my skin to get these roles and climb up higher on the ladder. And this, like, and I'm not even blaming that person that doesn't see the bigger picture and the whole problem and how sick the whole system actually is and the whole society in that context. But someone who just follows along, like Priyanka Chopra was in that case, maybe. So yeah. Again, we don't want to use this to just slaughter her and bash her and paint this negative picture of her. If there is a young actress and she's just one of many and they know this is the way where I get the better roles and this is the way where I can climb up the ladder, then a lot of people might just follow. And I think it's more up to the established people, or once they are established, to look back and realize, or people that have gone through the same thing like us, that you have a bit of a following on social media, that have a bit of a voice. And even if it is amongst your family, amongst your friends, we all have a voice and we can all use it. And I know that you don't have, like, we are talking very critically about the Indian culture here, but at the same time, it's not that everyone in India is bad or is worse than people in Germany, for example, my home country. You know, you have the same mix of people. So I'm sure there are a lot of people that do feel like there is something wrong about this. They feel it in their hearts, but it's much more difficult to express that, or it used to be much more difficult, but social media makes it easier, especially for you, especially for the people that do live in countries like Australia. You've mentioned that before in a different context, that you were like, well, if I spoke about all these things that openly, living in India, living in Punjab, it might be way more dangerous for me.
I can probably put my life on that, really. I might even lose my life for it. I don't know, because some of the things we talk about, there's still, whoa, how can a girl speak about things like this? Like, there's just so much. But I think, like, the issue becomes about authenticity. And do you align yourself with brands because they are easy to follow? Like Sven said, you follow the crowd. Like, you know that you will reach a lot of, like, millions of people. You make your money and so forth. Or do you align yourself with brands that are consistent with your set of values, your set of beliefs? And maybe you won't get, like, the path that is the fastest to fame or success or whatever it is that you want. It might take a little bit longer, but I think for a person to even make a decision for that, you need to know what your own values are, and you need to know what you stand for and what kind of person you want to be. Because I feel like when people stand for things that sometimes are conflicting, I feel like you get seen as a bit of a flag in the wind, like you're always kind of changing your position. I appreciate and respect people more when they are strong in what they believe, and that is it. Like, there is in their actions, you can see what they stand for, who they are, and it's not like a bit of everything just because of like the quick dollars.
That's true. That's very important. And looking at this article, yes, it was very critical about her person in particular, and there were other aspects to it as well. I can just recommend for people to go and read it if they want to learn more about it. But at the same time, I want to I have to be careful to judge people, especially, let's say they were in their early 20s. I'm 30 years old now and I'm still growing and I'm still reflecting on certain things I'm doing or I have done in my life. And, you know, I'm still trying to work on myself, or I'm working on myself every day, becoming more tolerant, more open-minded, more reflected. And you always go through a process. Take me 10 years ago and I would have, you know, would have spoken here differently in many ways, in some ways, I'm sure. So the thing is, if people are being put in the spotlight, and we don't know how much pressure there was family-wise as well to be successful, you know, to for the career to go a certain way, the younger you are, maybe the less reflected. You can't always apply that, but at the same time, we know that life is like a never-ending lesson or learning process of learning, basically. So this also applies to people. I think it's just then important to be... you are still authentic in some way, having made wrong decisions that were authentic for you back then, because this might have been something she supported. She thought that it was more desirable to be lighter, lighter skinned, to be whiter. But then it would be authentic nowadays, looking back, seeing, oh my God, what did I do there? To then, you know, stand up or raise your voice and also take the blame, basically, and work against that. And take a stand there into the other direction. I think that's important. And that's still authenticity.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we all make mistakes. And even me, a few years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here talking about things that I do in the way that I do. And I've spoken about this numerous times, especially my own journey, how much I keep evolving and how my friend evolves and how much we evolve together as well. But yeah, I think it's about owning your shit, really.
You
make mistakes, fair enough, but just own it and face the consequences. And takes a process to realize that you've even made a mistake. Sometimes it does take a while, and that's okay. But at the same time, I think it's even more important to show people, like if you're in a position of power, that you can make mistakes too. Like just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you're a god that makes no mistakes. You are human at the end of the day. Like everyone is human. We all make mistakes, you know? It's all a process. I think if you're just true to who you are and you know, okay, maybe I did stuff up here. Maybe I can try and amend this or do something to... you know, make sure it doesn't happen again. Just own it. That's it. I think that's the important thing.
And at the same time, looking at someone like her, where a lot of people look up to her, it's a sign to everyone out there as well to understand that every celebrity, every influencer, at the end of the day, they're all humans. So do not go and follow them blindly. Do not lose your own autonomy and your own process of thinking, reflecting on what people promote and represent. But always go and make up your own mind and be careful about just blindly following X, Y, Z because they are popular, they are someone you look up to, and they are someone that you think is successful in some way. Success can be measured in lots of different ways. We know how many musicians there are, singers, artists, that do end up taking their lives where everyone's like, they were so successful, why? They achieved everything they could achieve. And it still doesn't really mean happiness. So I think it's just important to always filter and reflect and not take all these messages that other people spread as your own truth.
Yeah, don't just take it at face value. Like research, find out what is this person speaking about. Do your own research from, you know, sources that are not biased and make up your own mind. Just because celebrity XYZ says this doesn't mean it's right. And this like extends beyond colorism. This is like everything, like people pushing things like skinny teas, like diarrhea teas just to get skinny, all these kind of things that people are now buying because the celebrities stand for it. It is crazy. Like I think if people just have a process of thinking, you know what, just because this person says this doesn't mean it's right, and just have a little bit of a think about something before they make a decision to purchase or follow or share or like or subscribe, just have a think. There's nothing wrong with using your own mind. We don't need everyone to think for us.
Good point. And reflect and realize, especially when you feel like people have extreme messages.
Yes.
Buy this product to look like this. do this so you can be more successful. When people act as if there is only one way to success, that's where you should be careful. And if you scroll through your Instagram, your Facebook, whatever it is, and you have accounts that always make you feel, whatever you see and read from them, it makes you feel of less value, makes you feel bad about yourself, makes you feel sad and depressed and incomplete. I think that's where you should be very careful. I've turned my own Instagram into a tool of inspiration and knowledge and learning in different contexts. If it's inspiration, like let's say in some way philosophically, you know, when it comes to philosophy of life and mindset, and also in the fitness context, you know, always constantly being inspired and learning new things. And I think, social media can play a great role here, can also be the tool of, destruction in terms of making people depressed and feeling incomplete and just feeding into certain industries.
Comparison is a thief of joy. And I think being able to see...
I love this one.
You like what I said? Yeah. It is though, because now we're in a stage where there is so much information. They even call it the age of information, where we have information from everywhere coming at us all the time. You just turn your phone on now, probably got 1,000 notifications, 1,000 different apps, and things are always telling us how to think, how to feel, how to do, how to be. But at the end of the day, just reflect. Think about the messages that are being given to you. And like your Instagram now, like, you use it as a source of information and how to get better and how to become a better person, a better trainer, a better videographer, photographer, whatever it may be, wherever you get your inspiration from. And that's what social media is. It's a tool. Now, it's only as good as you allow it to be. So you look at your follow list, like, are the people that you're following adding value to your life, or are they taking away, or are they making you feel like, oh, I'm not good enough? And I would suggest, and maybe this is a bit extreme, like, do a cull of your social media, like, just go through your follow list, unfollow the people that make you feel bad about yourself, and then have a think, like, why do these people trigger me? And think about how you feel about yourself, and is it coming internally? Like, is it because you're lacking self-love? You know, I think that that's what a lot of people should do. And I feel like more people like that kind of do this stuff, and like we kind of start to see more self-love becoming the new black, as they call it, even you'll start to see that everyone else starts to lift with you as well. And the way you speak will, like, it'll affect how your friends feel and things like this. So you have power in your own way in what you follow, because people do look at those things. Like, who are you following? Where do you get your inspiration from? You don't be like, oh, get it from celebrity XYZ because in 10 days she lost 10 kilos. No, she's probably sitting on a toilet for 10 days.
And especially when it's very extreme or discriminating, because sometimes some messages can be uncomfortable. If we look at David Goggins, we're both listening to the audiobook and following him on social media. Some of the things he says don't exactly make you feel better about yourself. Sometimes there are some things that...
Like a hard slap in the face.
There are some hard truth that you have to be confronted with, or that you have to face and accept. But your skin tone, the features you're born with, are none of those. Like, you should never judge yourself or judge anybody else on their, like, bodies and features they are born with. Like, I think this is a good message to sum it all up. If you're born with darker skin, if you're born with lighter skin, if you're born with a bigger nose or a smaller nose or whatever it is, you cannot judge or discriminate each other based on that, you know, accept that. And if there are certain beauty standards and you can't get past them or over them, then it is your choice to make to do something about it. Mm-hmm. That is your decision at the end of the day, but do not go and follow people that make you feel bad about the way you are, and your mindset and the things you do, that is something that you can control. That's something that is in your hands. But the way you look and your skin color should never be part of you feeling insecure about yourself or feeling like something needs to change.
I 100% agree with you. Never let someone else think for you. Always think for yourself. And yes, fair enough, take inspiration from others if you feel like the messages add value to your life or help you think in a way that you've never considered before. But when the message is about, like, self-hate and not loving who you are, like, think for yourself. Don't allow all this information that is constantly coming at us to like affect how you think about yourself. At the end of the day, the most important thing is how you feel about that person in the mirror. And if you're, when you're standing in front of that mirror, you're thinking, oh, but the celebrity said I should look like this, and they're more popular, more successful because they look like this, and I don't look like this. Like, just cut that shit, man. Just unfollow these people. Learn to love yourself, I would say.
And also in real life, going back to the original topic of colorism, products that like sort of promise for your skin to get whiter.
Yeah.
If you feel like the people around you, the people in your society, regard you as of less value, less attractive because of your skin color, fuck them.
Yeah.
Go and find other people. Go, yeah. You know, like, what do you even want with these people? If someone expects you to change in a certain way for them to accept you, appreciate you, and love you, screw them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just get rid of these people. You are not the problem. They are the problem. I think this is an important thing to realize. If someone's like, oh, blah, 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 you're ugly. Like, why did you stay in the sun for 20 minutes? You're so dark now. Why, whatever it is. Then it's just like, what the fuck? Mind your own business.
Yeah. Like, your own business. And you know, what you're saying can be seen as very extreme. Like, you just call them immediately. Like, but at the end of the day, you don't want people in your circle of influence that are just drilling holes. And I use this example again and again because it's so true. You don't want people in your life that are just making you feel shit. Why do you want to be around people like that? And I know sometimes you can't always pick, like, you can't pick the family that you're born into. You can't pick certain things. Maybe there you can try and use it as an opportunity to try and educate. But I know in my own experience that you can only help people as much as they want to be helped. You can only change minds that are open to change.
And I think, again, it applies here as well. We've talking about negativity and hate in other episodes. It applies again. If someone needs to go and point these things out about you, that's mostly so they feel better about themselves. That's at least so they have one thing. Oh, my skin is lighter and yours is darker. I'm better now. No, you're not really. You've already shown that you're worse of a human being just going to try to make somebody else feel better about the way they are. So of course, it is all about self-esteem and self-confidence and accepting yourself the way you are.
Yeah.
To then go and not give a shit about what other people think, which of course is a bigger challenge in a society where the media industry, the beauty industry, the society, everyone promotes this belief or thought of white is desirable and more beautiful.
It's so annoying. It's very infuriating.
But the good thing is nowadays, you know, if you look at other models, actresses, whatever it is, you know, a lot of people, you see people of all different skin tones and colors, and you're sitting here now in front of the camera, and you're happy every morning when we go for walks at the moment, and it's still sunny like 5 days in a row now. You're like, oh, look at my tan, and it looks healthy. It looks pretty.
Yeah.
And
at the same time, though, I should really start wearing more sunscreen.
I'm trying to get you into that, not to keep you pale, but just to protect your skin in that case.
Yeah, sunscreen is important for everyone, not just the light skinned people, but everyone.
Yeah, and even if it's not about skin cancer, it's still about the aging of the skin. We don't want to turn this again. We're not dermatologists. Talk to your doctor if you want to learn about that in more detail. Don't listen to us.
Yeah.
We spoke about it before. Don't take wrong advice. Maybe our advice is wrong in this context.
Yeah, you should research everything that we say, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, do you have anything else to say on that topic?
No, I think just the most important thing is, like, people need to learn to love themselves a little bit more. And I feel like that's maybe an unpopular message for the beauty industry because they feed off the insecurities of people and they want to try and make people feel better about themselves. But that's just the exterior. Like, if you don't heal how your heart feels or how your mind feels about yourself, there is no amount of product, no amount of surgery that's going to make you feel better about yourself. And I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, and this is not particularly against Priyanka Chopra or Bollywood actors. I couldn't even name all their, like, first names, the Kardashians, and who's part of that family. I've never really been confronted with
irrelevant.
It. But what I know is that they also have a big part. Like, there are other people's, other big influencers, actors, other even actors, I don't know what they are, that feed into these insecurities and try to make business through it, you know, selling products, working closely with the beauty industry. There is always a big difference about being healthy. Like, we are both in the fitness industry, and it is not just about body image and what you look like in the mirror. It's much more about health, longevity, staying fit as you get older, living a healthier lifestyle, reducing the risk of lifestyle induced or related diseases and all that stuff. I mean, of course, I don't put any powder on my face before I go and step in front of the camera here. You do put some makeup on. Like, we're all like, you know, I do get a haircut every now and then. You wouldn't believe it, but there is still some hair growing, and I'm trying to make my beard look good. Of course, in some way, we are trying to look a certain way. You know, we can't say we're completely immune to society, but don't let it affect you and shake you. You know, if it's, this is more because of how you feel about yourself. And yeah, in some way it is affected by the way you were brought up and your environment, but not to an extreme where you get depressed or you feel incomplete because you are the way you are.
Yeah. Team self-love. That's it.
That is very important here. And I think that's our final message. So thank you very much for listening to the podcast on Spotify or iTunes, to watching the video on... Thank you very much for listening to the podcast on Spotify or iTunes, and for watching the video here on YouTube. And we see you next week. Same time, same place.
Yeah, you know where to see us. All right. Listen to us.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.